The Panopticon was Jeremy Bentham's answer to the question, how can the few control the many? Of course, there really was no mystery. Plato told power long ago that the way to control the herd, us, was to control what we could think. Until very recently, it was jobs, the economy, that was the lens that accomplished this. And control of where the money goes, credit, determined what thoughts we could think during the day, both at work and what we were given over the airwaves, i.e. credit, their control of it, selected the thoughts for which we could receive pay. And the hidden hammer behind this process is the manufactured scarcity squeeze, as we must eat, and land to grow food has been seized by the state or in other ways made private. We are kept working because there's nowhere else to go in the class system. And there are no other thoughts to think that would allow us to question this way of things. But with time captured by jobs shrinking, many more of us devote our time to rethinking with our bodies, believing them, believing what our bodies say works for us as living things. And this is a vastly different practice than was our former conditioned, simple regurgitation habit. This is thinking authentically. While all around us the signs can be seen that the ship called the global economy is sinking, hence not just Occupy, but the excitement at the prospect of being self-sufficient. So power began madly pondering how to reclaim all this energy that's uprising from the global system's foundering. It sees our longing to be big, to continuously grow our gifts, and reckons it must corral it. This is a tried and true tactic power has ever successfully used, but corral it in such a way that it reinforces hierarchy, class by another name. So as the economy can no longer do the trick, education or finding the quote-unquote creatives will be the new or more grossly inflated reset. A report that The Economist did a year ago concluded by saying that power must invest in the young, which doesn't sound ominous until you consider who's saying it. And it significantly redefined the problem of inequality as inequality in education. Now, power has always used this tactic, but in this moment, to fall back on merit rises is telling. In a sense, when it tells us, when this Economist article tells us that they have to infuse new life into the con social mobility, that's modern statistician talk for keep the cattle herded. For it's key to the legitimization of the ideology of hierarchy. Class requires insiders and outsiders, those who have gifts and those ungifted, those who are smart and the dull-witted. And if money cannot prove the legitimacy of your rank, then it must be your level of service to the planet. And the edge in education in this unacknowledged competition is as assuredly given to the sons and daughters of the philosopher statesmen as the edge that their legacy trillions give. It's the youth who are the focus of all these concerted efforts. It is the youth that this massive propaganda campaign is primarily for. Youth will be asked to help the state reset progress, and if Sir Richard can ignite his plans more broadly, in all states, not laggards to the plate, as they all have an interest, power will remind them, in controlling their captive populace. And it will be a propaganda most beguiling and hard to challenge on its face, because it all sounds urgently needed with the planet in such dire straits. And this is why we must see clearly and not allow recorralling to take place, which is possible even as we see more and more each other's humanity, because we have no other thought to think but of the alleged necessity of bowing to political realities. and the resulting cognitive dissonance as our bodies long for authentic definitions in a social arrangement that's been reinvented will be rationalized away.